Gabriel Hetlin is an assistant professor of Latin American studies at SUNY Albany and contributor to The Nation. He says it seems that for now, the U.S. is backing away from military intervention.
This weekend, there was a forcible attempt by the U.S. and the sort of Venezuelan opposition led by Juan Guaido to bring so-called humanitarian aid to Venezuela. I think there's, you know, very legitimate critiques of that effort, not because Venezuela doesn't need the aid, but because the U.S. is simultaneously engaged in a very harsh sanctions regime on Venezuela, which is costing them billions of dollars. And the aid they were offering was about $20 million. So it failed. So the aid was not delivered. I think one truck might have gotten through in Brazil. There was a couple different points on the Colombian border and on the Brazilian border with Venezuela, and then a sea entry scheme that basically didn't succeed. There were some images of the government engaged in blocking the aid, which were used for sort of propagandistic purposes by Marco Rubio and other U.S. officials. And it seemed like on Saturday and Sunday, there was going to be a push for some form of U.S. military intervention. There's one leader of the opposition, Julio Borges, who explicitly called for that. And then Juan Guaido made a statement that made it pretty clear he was implicitly calling for a military intervention to at least be an option. It doesn't seem like that has support from regional allies of the U.S. So even the more conservative governments in Latin America, such as Brazil and Colombia, officials there have indicated they are not supportive of U.S. military or other military intervention. The United Nations doesn't seem to be supportive of that. And so it seems like that push for any sort of military solution to the issue right now has stalled. There's now more traction for other more diplomatic initiatives. There's an international contact group, which is led to a significant extent by both the EU and also Uruguay, which is not a supporter of the Maduro government, but much less harsh towards the Maduro government, and has been pushing for a negotiation process in Venezuela, which wouldn't be totally open, but would actually be designed to lead to free and fair elections. And even former allies of the Venezuelan government, the former president of Uruguay, Mujica, has called for that process to go forward. So it seems like as of now, that's where we are at. And the U.S. has even said that they are, you know, supportive of elections, which is something somewhat new. I mean, they've made vague calls for elections in Venezuela, but actually sort of having that be the focus of their efforts right now seems to be a bit of a new thing. And if that's true instead of having military focus, I think that'd be a very positive development.
Is this another defeat for Donald Trump?
It's certainly not a clear-cut victory for Trump, although I think that it, you know, it's a little hard to talk about winners and losers in the current process, because it's not as though Maduro is in a particularly wonderful place. I mean, he's still seen poorly by many Venezuelans. Polls indicate a majority of Venezuelans are upset, but certainly the U.S. goal of humiliating Maduro, of breaching the border, and in particular of getting mass military defections hasn't been achieved. The U.S. really hopes that by showing Maduro to be a quote-unquote merciless, heartless dictator, they would encourage military generals and soldiers to defect en masse away from the government. And that happened to some extent, but the numbers are either the low hundreds at the very high a level of estimates of that. So it certainly wasn't a major thing, and no important military officials within Venezuela have done that. So in that sense, I think it's a defeat in the sense of it not having a discussion of military option being widely supported. Yes, we could also see that as a defeat of the process, which I think would be a victory for Latin America and a victory for the world, because those are not good options.
What do you think is going to happen next?
It's hard to say. I think that the threat of war seems to be receding. Who knows? It could come back. It could be that there'll be an escalation of that sort of talk again. There might be another high-profile event, although I haven't heard of anything being planned yet. One hopes that instead there will be more traction for these, you know, tough negotiations occurring through diplomatic, peaceful, nonviolent methods. There's been a lot of focus on the shortcomings of the Maduro administration. You know, some of that is understandable and legitimate, although there's a lot of hypocrisy involved. The U.S. is constantly criticizing Venezuela, but giving a free pass to Saudi Arabia, giving a free pass to Brazil, giving a free pass to countries like Israel, which have been condemned by the United Nations for massive human rights abuses. We're not hearing about two other threats, which I think really deserve to be highlighted and are very important. One is the incredibly damaging effect of sanctions within Venezuela. There's an economist from Torino in New York City, Francisco Rodriguez, a Venezuelan economist, who has said that these sanctions on the oil sector in Venezuela are likely to lead to famine if they continue for any significant amount of time. So that's a really, really important threat. And that has to be part of discussions. And I think there has to be a critique of the sanctions because they're just going to harm the Venezuelan people. And then there's a second threat, which I think has really gone under the radar, which is already happening, which is a demonization of Chavismo and a demonization of the left entirely, and a failure to distinguish between the Chavista project, which had a lot of success, reducing poverty, reducing inequality, empowering workers, the poor, the so-called popular sectors in Venezuela through participatory democratic institutions that had problems but were really effective in other ways. But that whole project has sort of been thrown under the bus, and Chavistas as well have been sort of denigrated, seen as scum, seen as sort of dangerous. And there's calls on Twitter and elsewhere for, Chavista parties to be entirely banned, for leftist parties, for socialist parties to be banned. And I think that's very, very dangerous because there's, a split. There's still a lot of people, millions of people in Venezuela who are upset about Maduro, but still support a sort of social justice leftist project, still support even the Chavista project, even if they're critical about how it's been run for the last 5 years. And so having this sort of, demonization of Chavismo is really dangerous. And I think there needs to be much more attention on that and much more condemnation of that, and really an awareness that for any sort of free and fair election to happen, there has to be an end to the war threats, an end to the U.S. sanctions, an end to demonization of Chavismo, and an end to the repressive autocratic policies of the Maduro administration.
Gabriel Hetlin is an assistant professor of Latin American studies at SUNY Albany and contributor to The Nation.